This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. Yesterday, a federal court ruled that Michigan's congressional and legislative maps need to be redrawn, calling the gerrymandering of the districts an unconstitutional and pernicious practice that undermines our democracy. Joining us to explain what that's going to mean is Zach Gorchow. He's editor of Gongwer News Service, and he joins us by Skype, and Michigan Radio's resident political junkie, Zoe Clark. Hi, you two.
Hey, you. Huge news.
Hello.
Yeah, it is big. Well, let's start at the beginning, though. Who filed the lawsuit challenging gerrymandering in Michigan and why, Zach?
Well, it was the League of Women Voters of Michigan was the lead named plaintiff, but then it was also a series of Democratic voters scattered across the state. And they filed the lawsuit because they had grown frustrated with Republican domination in elections for the Michigan House, the Michigan Senate, and the state's U.S. House delegation. For most of the decade, under the maps that Republicans drew in 2011, Republican-controlled legislature and a Republican governor wrote the maps that are in place now. Republicans have controlled the Michigan legislature during the entire time, and it was only in the 2018 elections when Democrats were able to scratch out a 7-7 tie in the U.S. House delegation. But prior to that, it had been a 9-5 Republican majority, so they feel these maps are rigged in favor of the Republicans, and that is why they filed suit.
How much rigged? I know that generally speaking, about 50% Democrat, 50% Republican in the state. How's that reflected in the legislature?
Well, I mean, we've done math. Yes, journalists have done math. And what it showed in elections since these maps have been drawn, and I mean, I don't want to go into too much detail because there's, you know, the Senate and the State House and the U.S. legislature, but what it found in non sort of statewide races with these maps, right, is that there were more Democratic voters as a total that came out and voted, and yet more Republicans in some kind of iteration were being sent to Lansing and to D.C.
Yeah, as I understand, like 64% in some cases. So the League of Women Voters in their discovery turned up a bunch of emails that seemed to sway the federal judges a lot. What was that all about?
The plaintiffs obtained through subpoenas and the discovery process copious quantities of emails and testimony from Republican staffers, Republican political operatives, that confirmed what had always been suspected and never really credibly denied, that Republicans drew these maps to benefit their candidates and harm Democratic candidates. What was interesting was just some of the language put it in, extremely blunt.
Yep.
And for the Republicans in this lawsuit, very damaging terms. I think the one that will live forever was from a former staffer for ex-Congressman McOtter, who looked at a design for the congressional districts in Southeast Michigan and saw how they had confined the Democrats into maybe three districts and had left it open for Republicans to control many others, and referred to it as cramming all the Dem garbage into a specific area. And I believe described that as glorious. Boy, I just have to think that the judges, you could just tell from the ruling, they looked at that closely.
And there were also emails that showed conversations that seemed to involve representatives themselves, right? So emails that seemed to say, look, we want to help Congressman X, Y, and Z. And that goes back to the voters, not politicians, who just worked their message so hard in 2018, which was, we want voters to choose their politicians, not politicians choosing their voters.
In fact, the judges said effectively the Republicans punished Democrat voters for their political views by placing them in districts where their votes were worthless. Now, that's an argument that's before the U.S. Supreme Court right now from North Carolina. These cases seem to be parallel, just in timing's off.
It is. Well, there's two cases before the U.S. Supreme Court, and so there is still some question now that even if the Republican-controlled Senate does appeal this ruling, whether the Supreme Court will take it up or whether these cases are too similar.
I guess I was getting to, what does the court mean when it says their votes were worthless? Why would they say that?
Well, because that goes to this idea about voting rights and what are the issues that judges are going to be looking at.
So, Zach, what could this mean on the ground for the 2020 elections?
It could change everything. You've got number one, I think, that really shocked people yesterday. that the Michigan Senate, which is not scheduled to stand for election until 2022 because they serve four-year terms there, the court really surprised everybody by ordering special elections to be held for the Michigan Senate in 2020. This has a number of ramifications. Number one, it means theoretically the legislature is now, entire legislature is now up for grabs 2 years earlier than expected and gives Democrats the opportunity with redrawn maps to perhaps win total control of the legislature and give Governor Whitmer a Democratic legislature to enact her agenda and their agenda. So that, you know, creates enormous stakes right there. But it also means that under Michigan's term limits law, depending on how it's interpreted, possibly a number of senators who assumed they were going to get to serve until 2022 will be out after 2020. And a number of senators who were first elected in 2018, hoping they would be able to win two terms and serve until 2026, might be out after 2022. It really has just upset the whole apple cart and is pretty chaotic.
And I think also that there's so much attention right now, Zach, and, you know, let me know if you think I'm wrong, but there's so much attention right now on election 2020 and what this will mean. And that is beyond fascinating. But I cannot say this clearly enough. If this decision stands, or even if it lingers, this is going to leave a mark on every single major and not so major issue in Lansing right now. Every neighboring legislature, whether it is a legislator, whether it is a Republican or a Democrat, is a potential adversary suddenly. So votes that may not have mattered before suddenly absolutely do. Districts considered safe, and it, you know, whether it's Republican or Democratic, will become competitive. And so the idea that this wouldn't have some effect in negotiations about the budget right now or negotiations about road funding, this is just huge.
I had a source say to me yesterday that said this is a nuclear bombshell that's gone off in the Capitol, and that basically everything will stop as far as major legislation, that this is now a redistricting period, and that will become the sole focus, to your point, Zoe.
Again, so lobbyists, right? There's always the conversation about lobbyist influence. Who do lobbyists suddenly try to influence if they don't know whose voters they are going to have? Like, there is not enough words to explain not just how crazy this is for the 2020 election, but what it means for issues on the ground in this state going forward over the next year.
We've kind of established that Republicans could lose a number of seats in Congress and the state legislature, but this is a disruptor for the Democrats too, because when districts are redrawn, as you said, everything's up in the air. So what might happen with the Democrats?
Well, I spoke with a Democrat who's in the business of winning elections last night, who said the activists are thrilled. Everyone who's actually ever run an election knows what a total cluster this is. Mm-hmm. And that's because there are a lot of Democratic electeds who are going to face negative consequences from this. There are a number of newly elected Democratic senators in Oakland County who all live very close together, because of the way those districts were drawn by the Republicans, one or more of whom will probably have to move as a result of this. Does Congresswoman Debbie Dingell, who currently has a very safe Democratic seat, well, if the districts start getting evened out to become more competitive, it is very easy to envision her district in particular becoming a 50-50 type district. You know, Congressman Andy Levin and Congresswoman Brenda Lawrence, they live in adjacent communities, Bloomfield Township and Southfield. People are going to get drawn together. I don't see how there's no way to sustain having four members of Congress living in Oakland County, as is currently the case, without some people getting drawn together and people having to consider moving. They don't legally have to, but politically it's probably advisable. So for the Democratic electeds, there's some downside.
And then let's remember too, this is only for one election. That we are going through the redistricting process again after the 2020 census. So all of this, we have to note this too, all of this redrawing and chaos is only till this 2020 census, when new maps are going to be drawn again based on that data, not the 2010 census data.
These two cases before the U.S. Supreme Court, they're likely to be settled before Michigan can really do anything at this point?
Oh, I don't think we know.
Yeah.
Well, the term, I mean, typically the U.S. Supreme Court will rule by the end of June. That's typically when they end their term. But three-judge panel set an August 1st deadline for the Michigan legislature and Governor Whitmer to draw new maps. So one would think that nothing's going to happen on these maps until, one, we'll see if any kind of a stay is placed on this decision by the U.S. Supreme Court. And two, one would think that the legislature will wait and see, you know, what the U.S. Supreme Court does. Now, that said, 1 month to try to put together maps is a pretty accelerated process when it's going to have to be a negotiated situation. You know, it is a laborious task. You know, in 2011, the Republicans did ram them through pretty quickly, but that's only because there had been months and months and months of legwork beforehand. So, you know, it is tricky that I think it makes sense that they would wait and see what happens. But if the Supreme Court did actually rule that partisan gerrymandering is illegal, and the kinds of standards that this panel used in Michigan to determine whether partisan gerrymandering exists are acceptable, and the districts do in fact have to be redrawn, it is going to be a rush. 1 month is not a lot of time.
And let's put that in context, which that is going to be happening along with figuring out the state budget, which we know is likely to be contentious with a, you know, majority-controlled Republican legislature, both chambers, a Democratic governor, as well as the idea of road funding. So look to see how these all things play together.
Oh, it's going to be an interesting summer in Lansing. Zoe Clark is Michigan Radio's resident political junkie. Zach Gorchow is editor at the Gongwer News Service. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.